Hello, everybody, and welcome to our March 2020 open coaching call for NEPT. We're super excited to have you guys here and super excited to answer whatever questions. These are the open coaching for those of you who are relatively new. Anything goes on these calls, right? Don't ask me about sex or bumblebees. I don't know anything about those things, but really pretty much anything health related goes. Well, yeah, maybe I do know about some of those things, but not all of them. Anyway, I say that because one time I went in to talk to a high school class and I said, oh, you can ask me anything about health and nutrition and all that. These kids started asking me about sex, like, you know, and, oh, that's not what I'm here to talk about. Anyway, it was funny. So they weren't asking like, you know, like chemical things about sex. They were asking like, you know, teenager things about sex. So I was like, no, I don't think so. Anyway, that wasn't why I was there. I was trying to talk to them about their eating habits and their fast food and the, you know, all the things that can help them be better students and better people and all that. So anyway, we're here. Anything goes really. If you have questions about any materials you're going through, everybody's at a different part of the program. No matter what, people say, well, why do you let people start at different times? I said, why? Because if they all start at the same time, everybody goes at a different pace anyway, right? So regardless of when you started, if you all started together, you may be in different modules and moving through at different rates. So any questions you have about where you're at in the program, any questions you have about clients that you're thinking about taking on, family members who you're trying to help, anything at all related to, or business stuff. Some people come on and ask about, you know, I have this opportunity, well, not these days, but speak at this particular conference. How should I set it up so I can, you know, get some clients out of it? And whatever you want to ask me, I'm game for. If I don't know about it, I'll tell you I don't know. Right. So, and then just raise your hands. I see Maria is here. She probably has a business question. Maria. and Maria and Martha. Okay. So Maria, go for it. Whoops, you're talking, but we don't hear you. So you'll have to unmute yourself.
Test. Did I hear now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. Sorry, I was laughing about your comment. Okay. I'm kind of stuck, and maybe you can give me some stuckness vaccine.
Okay.
Well, I'm just plug it in. So I am. Organizing or here's what I want to do. I want to have a self-study program that is a 30 days. And mm-hmm. then I want a 90-day program. However, I want to use the 30-day program as part of my 90-day. Okay. Right. So basically it would be like a plus, right? Whatever I have recorded. So also back off a little bit. The 30-day would be self-study. I could use as a group and I could use as 101, right? I'm talking about the...
You're talking creating material. You're talking creating a membership somehow, material that they could go through.
That will come later. But what I'm stuck is how do I divide and select, I guess, the content? You know, like,
so I feel like I'm in a tunnel and the lights are out and I have no clue how to help you because what are you trying to create this about? Like what kind of a self-study? What's the topic? What are you trying to take them through?
Well, I mean, it's basic health and I would, you know, the four topics on this, 30 day, I would address nutrition, exercise, sleep and stress. They would be short. It would be like, you know, 20 minutes of this to get a glimpse, to get an idea, right? So people don't want to invest a lot of money to work with me, but they can, okay, that would be an introduction. They can get some help and things like that. But then
but when you say help, we go, okay, so I'm a little confused, right? Self-study. If you're going to give them information, mm-hmm. You have to have an outcome, like what's in it for them? What problem are you solving for them? So that at the end of 30 days, you're going to come into my 30-day self-study. And at the end of it, this is the transformation that you're going to have. Because yeah. information is, it's all over the internet.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So the goal is it's for my typical client, which is weight loss, but focus on blood sugar and insulin resistance. That's what I always guide them to, no matter what, right?
So it's a companion content to go with a 30-day coaching program or group coaching program. Is that right?
No. Well, could be. What I'm saying is if I have, let's say, somebody who is interested in checking me out, they don't want to invest hundreds of dollars in a 30-day that is one-on-one with me, right? They can say, oh, let me get started with this chick and see what she's got to offer, right?
And how would it be delivered to them? Are you thinking emails that they'll get an email that says, today, yeah. focus on this, tomorrow, focus on this?
I use this platform called Onboard Me, and I would use the platform to deliver every week kind of a content, you know, so it would be kind of a 30-day for the client, right? But every week with a focus, I guess. And then in that platform, I can deliver, you know, other little things if I want to follow up with them. But they will sign up and they would get this content delivered there.
Okay. I'm going to take you back because I want to make sure you're going in the right direction for what your ultimate goal is. So are these people that you want to nurture for 30 days and then ask them to take the next step into a longer, more expensive
program? Yes. So this would be like, you know, a lot of times people download people's freebies or they download low cost to have an idea what this person is. So this would be, I haven't thought about the cost, but I'm not concerned about the cost right now. I just want to get over the content because that's a block for me right now. But yes, the idea is to upgrade them to a couple things they would have.
Okay, but before we go there, how do you envision getting them into this? How is this something that you're going to post on your website? Hey, join me for this 30-day. What would be the goal? Like, if I'm going to join a program and pay money, right? I go, hey, they're learn to write an effective email sequence in 30 days. Learn to, you know, get your blood sugar balanced in the, you know, 30 days. Learn to lose 30 pounds, or not 30 pounds necessarily, lose 5 pounds. That'd be a nice program. Anybody will pay for that one. You can figure that one out. Lose 5 pounds in 30 days or something like that. What is it? You have to have a purpose for them to invest their time and their money, even if it's $10. They're not going to invest their time unless there's a goal. Make sense?
Yes, the goal is weight loss.
And so the goal is weight loss.
Weight loss with, and I don't know how I'm going to put it or name it or something, but I want to make sure that is, that I give a hint that is blood sugar management within. So because I want to lead them to a longer program that is going to be focused on blood sugar. And that blood sugar program is still going to be weight loss, but blood sugar management.
Okay. So before you get people in, right, before you can attract people to come into this, it sounds like this is the beginning of a funnel to take them from get to know you. Whoops, I just disappeared. Get to know you, and then they will take the next. They're going to have something that you're promising them that they're going to get at the end of 30 days.
Right. I mean, I'm saying 30 days, but if they want to just download and go through the material in less time, it's up to them, right? But my idea is to deliver every week so they stay kind of committed. And again, might be the wrong idea.
I'm not feeling it is what I'm getting, right? I'm not feeling it because if I have like a 30-day program, maybe I have a 30-day program that's to help you to have less gas or to help you to, you know, drop 5 pounds in 5 pounds in 30 days is not a great promise either, right? Because if I'm thinking about the noise in the environment, like what is it that you're going to offer them that they can't go to YouTube and then just watch YouTube videos? Or how does this differ from your podcast? Even if you're providing 3 podcasts a week, how does this differ? Is it a structured, like step one is this, step two is this? You really have to have your process dialed, like what you're going to take them through. Otherwise, it's just information. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess what you're saying is that there is no value, I guess, on information these days anymore because it's everywhere.
Unless it's information that's specifically targeted. They watch a video, they listen to something, and then they go, okay, now step one, here's how you implement this. Step one, step first three steps I want you to do are.
Yeah, of course. It's not just a PowerPoint information. There's going to be guidelines, you know, but to your point, I do that in my podcast too. I mean, every podcast there is like, boom, 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 you do that, but.
Right, like how are you gonna attract them to come in and say they listen to you on your podcast and they like you and you come and have a conversation. You have your, what you call an energy audit, right? Where you talk to them about what's going on. I would say this is not something you want to lead with. It's something you want to downsell into. And what you really want to lead to from your podcast is work with Maria, work with Maria. This is the transformation you're going to get. This is how you're going to change your life. You have a conversation with them and you say, you know, I have this 9-week program. You're going to do this with me. We're going to do this. And it's $2,000. And they go, I'm not ready for that investment. Right. And you can't handle the objections. You can't overcome those objections. And you say, look, here's what I'd like you to do. Let's get started with this. Once you finish this, let's see what your results are. And then we'll have a conversation again at the end of this and I can take you to the next level.
Right? Okay, so you're saying the leading should be a longer program.
The leading should always be your high dollar, high ticket item. You should always offer your high ticket item first. And then you drop down when they're not ready for that.
I honestly was just thinking of those people who, you know, go to the website, they read information, but there are a lot of people who are just afraid of getting the freaking phone call because they know you're going to try to sell them something.
Yeah, but they don't, they're not necessarily like, what are they going to go? Why are they going to go to your website and buy? Look, I have a website. I've had my website for how many times do people just go to my website and buy something? I would say 5 to 10 times over the last 10 years. I'm serious. Like that they just, oh, wow, this is really cool. Let me buy it. Somebody the other day bought my thyroid program. It may not be that they went to the site. They might've just heard me speak and this and that. They went there and they got it. But nobody just goes to my website and buys anything, right? Nobody. Just doesn't happen. Even my $5 books, that's just not the way marketing works. That's just not the way people's behavior works. Unless you're spending a whole bunch of money on Google ads and Facebook ads to drive them to something that then offers them something on your website, right? So you're not going to get drive-by traffic. The way you're going to get clients is to offer them to speak to you, like with your energy audits. That's how you've gotten most of your clients, right?
No.
How have they found you?
I got my clients through after the audit, but they find me on Google. I mean, it's just...
Right, but they find you that way, but do they buy anything directly from your site?
No, but I don't have anything for sale over there. I don't promote anything for sale over there, except for my, you know, 3 session of personal training. I don't talk about prices. You know, I don't talk about it. I don't have anything. They can download a 4-day mini cleanse, you know, and...
How many people do that? Is that a freebie or is that a...
Yeah, that's a freebie. And I think that, I need to change that. It's not attracting a ton of it. So, you know, like Don Miller says, if your freebie is not attracting, it's because it's the wrong freebie. Mm-hmm. So,
right. Yeah.
So that's for that.
I would rather see you not try to sell something direct on your website like that. You know, I would rather see you attract them into a freebie and then say, hey, you like this for just, you know, $29, whatever it's going to be, I'll take you through step by step for 30 days. I'm going to hold your hand. It's going to be a low end to less than $1 a day. You're going to get my guidance through a month of transformation. And this is what you're going to get at the end of that.
Well, that is somewhat, you know, what I was envisioning.
Okay.
You know, with this 30 days kind of thing that
right.
I was mentioning.
So then what's the freebie that's going to get them to like jump on the freebie and then be able to easily offer that?
You're saying from freebie to the 30 day and then to the, I see.
Right. And you still can have your energy audit. Like, hey, if you want that high touch, you know, if you want to be that, you want the concierge type of a, an experience with me, this is the way to go. But here's how you get started. And you have to have something that's the something that's unique, you know.
There is like, no such thing as unique anymore.
No, there are things you say that are, there are. So for example, you can have a freebie like the top five dangers of aerobic exercise. Why you shouldn't be doing aerobic exercise.
Well, that's gonna lead them to exercise, not necessarily coaching.
Right, but it's gonna talk about muscle loss, not having the right proteins and not having too much sugars, and you can easily lead them, but you got to get their attention. So I'm just throwing that out there because it's other things, like something that's like, oh, it's like bucking conventional wisdom, right? And you get their attention. And then when they download your freebie, freebies should be like 3 to 5 pages long. Because if they're longer, they're not going to buy your next thing because they have to finish reading your 29-page freebie, and they will do that in 3 years. And then, you know, they're not going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you from my own mistakes, right? Download my free 30-page recipe guide, right? Like, okay. So something short and sweet that they can consume, that they go, wow, that's my, you know, and then, hey, that was your first step. What's your next step? What do you want to do next, right? Now that you've got whatever your 3-day a week exercise program down, let's talk about your blood sugar. If your blood sugar is screwed up, you're not going to do this. If this and that, whatever, you know, I'm just throwing these things out, right? But you just come up with like, what is that? What is the logical progression? So I would say this for everybody who has any kind of services you're offering. What's your free, what's your lead gen? What's going to bring them in, and what can you do that's going to be, like Maria said, there's nothing unique, but yeah, you may have a unique twist on something, right? Like my fasting while feasting, like how can you fast and feast at the same time? That's kind of interesting, right? And people do this free challenge, and then I offer them a high-end program from there, and it works, right? So what can you do to like shake up their belief system? And then if you want to do this 30-day thing from there, but just putting a 30-day program on your website, you're going to waste your time. You're going to put all this effort into it. You have to think about the customer journey. And what's his name talks about that, the brand guy, the customer journey.
The donor?
Yeah. The journey. What's the journey? Where are they at? What's their story? What do they want from you? Okay. I mean, it's a good idea to have a 30-day thing, but I think your idea of just creating it and putting it on your website is tough, right? And how do you do it? You just outline your steps. What are the first things you're going to take people through that are going to get them results every time? And there are things that people, like, it depends on who your audience is. If your audience is the general public, you know, the general public person who's, you know, frustrated with the muffin top and wants to get rid of it, versus if your audience is somebody who's very sophisticated and knows a lot, then you're going to have different first steps. And yeah, you've talked a lot about the executive people, right?
Those people are not downloading freebies. They don't care for that shit.
That's right. And if you want to really work with those high-end people, you got to get out there and get them in on a conversation with you, or get them into some sort of communication. Because that's where your money-making opportunities are. That's where you shine. And that whole thing you were starting to do with the testing, right? Start with what's like shocking facts about heart disease, shocking facts about belly fat, shocking facts about whatever their main complaint is. I started my talk last night with shocking facts about heart disease. Like, you need to really think that just testing your cholesterol is gonna, your doctor has no clue. You can drop dead tomorrow of a heart attack and nobody knew that it was brewing. Here's what you need to do. Here's why you need to do more sophisticated testing, or here's where you need to do. So think about that. You're on a good track, but I think that you just have to think about your audience. I think you're kind of steering away. Sit down and envision that 47-year-old executive who's at a risk of dropping dead of a heart attack and leaving his family behind. You had that avatar so beautifully thought out. Let's go back to it. Don't try to do the general population. right? That guy doesn't want to sit down and go through your 30-day self-study program. No, no, mm-hmm. not at all.
No.
No. Okay? I'm going to move on. Think about it. Come back around. Think about it now and then come back around and let's talk about it more. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't mean to be harsh, but I need to sometimes like.
No, I don't take it as harsh. I know you have my best interest. You know me well. Yeah. So no, I need the shake. So I appreciate good. You're not going to offend me at any time. Okay?
Good. It's like when you shake me up with the exercise. Okay, good. Thank you. Martha and then Karen. Martha, Karen, and Terry. Put your hand up with the thing so I can keep track of them. Okay, Martha shaked at me before. What's up?
I'm trying to battle through some of this lab work. I actually have four of them, and I didn't get a chance to upload anything, but I will by the next class next week. But this person really might have something pretty serious going on, and she's a health nut, and she went to a functional, I'll put that in parentheses, chiropractor, and her cardiac muscle function test and the blood work was at 520.
So the mean it's CPK? What do you?
Well, that's on her blood work. It registered.
Remind me the range. I don't remember the range of that one.
Well, it should not be over 450.
Okay. So I have to know the name of the test, because if it's CPK, CPK is also it's cardiac, but it can also be skeletal muscle, or CK, creatine phosphokinase, or C creatine kinase, it would be listed as.
Well, her creatine kinase was, and that's the difficult stuff about between the master tracker and Dr. Weatherly, everybody where you put everything in is different. And what I don't understand is why, and I'll just go ahead and get these out of the way. What's the difference in the whole blood versus the absolute? I'm not real sure.
Which, tell me the marker you're looking at. Are you looking at, like absolute, like neutrophils?
Is that like, how is that, some of these tests don't really indicate, it's like complete blood count, CBC, and it doesn't say whether it's absolute, or it doesn't say
okay,
this if, whole blood.
You can tell by the numbers, it's not absolute or whole blood. CBC has to do with the complete blood count, and it'll look at neutrophils, eosinophils, basophils, lymphocytes. Okay, so you look at that, and if the numbers are, if they add up to 100, it's the percentages. Right. So when you do a CBC, if anybody knows what they're doing, they would do a CBC with differential, which means that it shows the percentages of each of those. If the numbers are these bizarro numbers, then they're not, so they usually will say lymphocytes absolute, neutrophils absolute. And usually if it's got both, you'll see all of them listed, and then all of them listed again. Usually it's the percentages first.
Okay.
I would recommend you go back to the blood chem and just watch that thing over again, because there's a lot in there and it's easy to forget. It's easy to get all balled up with it.
Oh yes, I was like, oh my gosh.
I would go back. I have a video on I have short videos in there, like 10 minute, 15 minute, 20 minute videos on each of those sections. And there's a whole section on immune system, which goes through all of those white blood cells.
Okay, well, I don't know anything anymore, but the cardiac muscle function test is NT-proBNP.
Okay, so somebody did this.
And it's like it should be between 125 to 450 is borderline, and optimal is less than 125. So now the chiropractor is suggesting she get a nuclear stress test, and the girl's freaking out because she doesn't want to go do that.
Okay, so here's the thing. If he did this test suspicious of some serious cardiac problems, and it's showing up, there are. So I would do a couple of things. That module piece. You don't have access to it because it's in the second part. There's a whole list of all the advanced cardiac tests. So I would say if she's got that level that you want to do, did they do CK, CK or CPK? If not, you want to do that.
Because they're all.
I want to do that with isoenzymes.
They didn't do any enzymes, but her.
It's isoenzymes. It's basically some of the markers can be like, it can be heart, it could be skeletal muscle, it could be liver. And then when you do this breakdown, there's basically subfractions of that. So I would do a CK with isoenzymes. Write these down.
With iso what? Enzymes?
Isoenzymes. I would definitely do an advanced lipid panel.
Well, we've got that. Her cholesterol is 258.
Yeah.
But her triglycerides are 93. Her ApoB is 127.
Okay, so let me just stop you there. I don't memorize ranges. So I look at the thing. I can't memorize all these ranges. That's not my way. So you have to tell me where it falls. If they're in the ideal range, skip them, don't tell me.
I'm just telling you the red ones.
Those are the red ones, okay.
On this functional test, but then when I put it in your master tracker and Dr. Weatherby's
tracker, we don't have those tests in there.
Right. And the VLDL is not in there either.
We don't have those in there. We just have the basics, right? So they in the Dick and Weatherby software, it does have those, but also you just look at the report, right? So yes. If you look at the report and these are out of range, this person has some serious cardiac stuff. What about the particle sizes?
It didn't show that. Well, the APOA1 is 183.0.
It doesn't show LDL small, LDL medium, LDL large.
No, she didn't have any of that. Well, they've got eight, no.
So then she wants to get a particle size test run. And there is an advanced clinical resources call with Alan Hopkins that will explain all of this stuff.
Right. Okay.
And then go through there. And he talks about like CoQ10 for this, if this is this CoQ10, if this is this way niacin, and talks about a lot of that stuff. APO, what about LPA, LP little a?
LPLA is 152.
Ouch. Yeah. LP in parentheses A. Yeah. We want that to be like 35 or less, right? 25 or less.
It's in green on this report. See, that's what's.
Gotta be careful about the whatever the little letters that they are, if it is nano or milligrams or whatever. Right.
Yeah, I didn't think they had that issue with LPA.
They do, and actually I noticed that on mine. So the one in 2013 was one, and then this came in a different one. So yeah, you got to be really careful about.
Yeah, I'd say this is hard, like without me seeing it, you know. So if you have it on, do you have it in a PDF? You can share your screen and show us. But I find it very kind of useless for people watching and very hard for me for us to just go through it verbally, because it's like when we see it, then I can point things out to you.
Well, so her sugar is up to 98. So
what is 98?
Her glucose is at 98.
Yeah, so that's too high. What about her insulin? What about her?
Insulin is at 9, but this is what I hate. Yeah, which is high.
Too high. Yeah. Yeah, so she's got a blood sugar issue. This person needs to have serious intervention, find out what is she eating, what's her diet like. She needs probably good B vitamins. She needs to get her glucose under control, right? So you know how to do that. That's the thing you know how to do really well, right? So I would take her through that, but also these are some other things that she's got to get. And I would explain to her, this is serious. You've got some serious cardiac markers, and one of the leading causes of cardiac and heart disease and stiffening of the arteries is blood sugar imbalance. I just did an interview today. It was like a 12-minute podcast, and I named it. It was like the real pandemic, glucose dysregulation, and what you can do to stop it before it gets too bad. And I went through all that. Like, this is serious stuff. This is not like, oh yeah, I have a little bit of glucose up, you know, I don't have diabetes yet, so it's not a problem. right? This is serious and she needs to take control of it. And you know how to take her through a glucose regulation thing. That's where I would do. She's got this other practitioner. I would say, hey, here's some other tests that you, your doctor may consider doing on you.
Well, she's thin and she's type O plus, and what she wants to live by is going by that blood, the blood diet.
So here's the question: when somebody says, I want to follow this diet or that diet or another, and they're here in front of you with all these crazy numbers, I would say, how's that working for you?
Right.
How's that working for you? Like, it doesn't seem like it's working very well for you. So you may have to do something a little differently.
Okay. And she does, you know, she's gluten-free most of the time. She makes fabulous homemade things. And so she's a health coach herself. So this is what makes it difficult, because she thinks she knows everything.
Yeah.
And so she was really concerned. I said, well, you need to let me see your blood work. And this is the person that says they're a functional chiropractor doctor, and she's not helping her. She's trying to sell her products, and then she's like, now she's concerned because of that nuclear stress test, and she's reluctant to go do that.
I mean, the stress test
I guess they put some kind of dye.
Yeah, it may or may not be. I don't know enough about her, and I don't have her stuff in front of me. But if she hasn't had her particle sizes done, a calcium CT score, right? That's the thing. That's the CT scan of the coronary arteries. No dye, or if there is, it's very little. I don't think it. I think it's very non-invasive to see where she's at with that. Okay. There's other things that test, like the flexibility of the cardiac arteries, and that stuff sometimes needs a lot of dyes and stuff. But that's what I would do. I would make sure you have particle sizes in that, and then watch the thing on Alan Hopkins' presentation. He has some really
good. I've done that several times. He's really good.
Right. Yeah.
The doctors here won't do the lipoprotein tests because insurance doesn't cover it.
Well, does she want to pay for it out of pocket, or does she want to die? Right. I mean,
right. So that's
not. Want to pay $100 to have a test done?
This is such a cheap test.
Yeah. I know, $35, I think.
I mean, it's what did you say?
I think it's in it like $35.
Oh, it depends. I mean, where you get it, but it's definitely going to be less than $100. I mean, you know what? This is so much crap. People really are so concerned, but really, they're not that concerned, right? I mean, okay, the doctor doesn't want to run the thing. Okay, you know, Mr. Doctor, because of insurance, I'm going to pay. When I had insurance of doctors, I went to, you know, years ago, I went with my list and it says, well, they're probably not going to cover this. I don't care if they're not going to cover. I want you to do this test. And now I don't have a doctor, just order all my own. That's it. You know, I mean, this is a bunch of crap. You got to tell people the reality of it. And it says, look, I mean, if you want to know, this is what I'm recommending. I'm recommending because of this. And she's not going to have concerns, hopefully, of doing it. Just send her to a Quest Lab, give her where to go. And it says, it's important because of this and this. We're going to learn this, then, and this. So you want it or not? That's it.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit kinder when I say it than Maria.
Of course.
Right now. And she
of course.
Is, too. But the point is like, take a hike. This is what's in my bag of tricks. If you don't like what I have in my bag of tricks, go find somebody else. Because I don't have any magic wands in my thing that's going to allow me to help you if you're not willing to make the changes or get the tests that you need for me to be able to help you. Right.
I was go get the nuclear stress test.
Yeah, I don't know about that
one. Yes, you know. You know,
go get that. If you don't want to get that, here's a couple of things you can do instead. But it's important that she finds out that, you know, what's really going on.
And somebody wanted me to share the screen, but I will get more information and do that the next time.
Get more information, upload it, we'll look at it, and we'll help you through it. And then everybody will learn from it. But it's really important, you know, if you get, this brings up a good point, Martha, is that anybody is looking at somebody's labs and there's red flags, you've got to know what to do about that. And you've got to tell them, hey, this is a serious situation. You need to work with your doctor to get the right testing for this.
Okay. And her iron's even high and her ferritin's low.
So high, ferritin low. Yeah, well, that could be a melatonin thing. That could be an iron overload thing. It puts her in oxidative stress point. I mean, there's a lot of problems with that. So put it in. It's really, I have a hard time when people tell me their labs like willy-nilly and I'm trying to put it all together. My brain doesn't make all the connections.
Well, it's hard for me too. But
yeah, definitely an LPA. You got to look at her LPA with all this stuff. And that's a genetic thing. And it's hard to bring that down, but you can bring down the risk factors surrounding it.
That is LPA.
LP with the A, little a. We always call it LP, little a. L, P, and then A is in parentheses. I'll put it in the chat.
Are you going to read it as lipoprotein A? Marta, you know, when you deal with a person, that's my experience, you know, and I attract those people who are the type A or like guys who want straightforward. The way that, you know, obviously I'm talking with a tone of voice here because we're among ourselves. I never talk like this in front of a customer. But the way that I get them to, that it helps is, okay, you know the personality, you know this woman knows the stuff. So it's basically saying, after I review this, I recommend this because this test will show us boom, 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 boom. And it costs roughly about this. If your insurance, you know, is not willing to cover, I highly recommend you do this on your own. And here is a recommendation where to get it. But if you give the why really well and how important, what the person can get it, you know, kind of see, the visualize what the next step is, because if we know the result of this, we can take this step, then they're going to say, heck yes, I'm not going to spend a minute discussing with my insurance. I want to know now, and I will pay $100. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that those people respond well, you know, when you have defects like this, 1, 2, 3, and any others. Lipoprotein A is everywhere. The particles, it's very well in research and things like that. You can grab links to research, you know, the books, right? So that will kind of validate your kind of guidance, I guess, you know, to the recommendation. That's what I would suggest.
Okay, well, we have to move on. There's four hands raised, so good luck. All right, Karen. And then Terry, and then it looks like Julie, and okay, Maria again. Okay, so Karen.
I have two questions. One of them is about
methylmalonic acid.
Yeah. And then the other one is I have like three moms right now that talk to me about possibly doing like a food sensitivity testing. And I mean, obviously those don't need a lot of interpretation.
Like people get freaked when they see it, and like being able to take a food sensitivity test and give them a step-by-step, stage 1, we're going to do this, stage 2, we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to reintroduce these. That's the place where they think that they're, you know, 4 years later, they're still avoiding the same foods that somebody told them 4 years ago they had a problem with. And right. You have to look at, then you introduce the whole concept of leaky gut. If you have more than a handful of food sensitivities, it's not just a matter of stop eating them. It's a matter of what are we going to do to heal the gut so that you can, you know, it's an indication of a much more serious problem.
Right. So these are moms. One of the kids, like maybe like preteen or teen, the other two are babies. babies. So what would be like, so if I just did, you know, a food sensitivity testing, like the US Biotech, they have one that's like, they have one that's like the IgE one. And then they have the other ones that are the, you know, the IgA.
A, G, and E is a, the yeah. best combination is if you can do IgE and EA and G. But because E's are like, if they already know, right? E's are like, yeah, I eat soybeans and I get this reaction. Like, you don't even need to test E's necessarily, but I like to look at the E's in combination with like a G or an A. So these are infants or, you know, yeah. it's a matter of yeah. blood draw, right? How are you going to get a blood draw? There are some blood spots, but how are you going to sit there and get an infant to sit there while you poke their finger with a
Well, that's what I said. So one, so they're both moms where I teach the older kids piano. So I said, if I'm, you know, I mean, I'm at their house anyway, doing the lessons. I said, if you do get a test, I go, I would do the blood spot. I mean, I would, you know, do his little finger and however long it took.
It's illegal. Don't be careful with that.
Well, I'm,
right. You don't have poking rights.
Right. Oh,
You know what I'm saying? Like you can help the mom to do it. You can correct help it. The child, but the mom has to poke.
You cannot do
that. Or if anything happened, you could get in big trouble.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, because obviously that was not on my radar. and I was just curious too about like what would be just pricing for one lab, like that food sensitivity that isn't, you know.
Well, okay. So here's what I would say whenever you want to know pricing of something. So it's whatever the lab costs, right?
Yeah.
And I would usually have them pay out of the pocket
whatever.
And then if you want to have an interpretation session, how long would you anticipate? You're going to be with the mom, obviously, and not going to sit with the kid, right? Unless the preteen one, you're going to have to sit with the kid.
Yeah.
Right. So, and mom's all like good to go. And it's like, okay, rah, rah. I want to know what these things are. I'm going to do this job with it. You know, how long is it going to take you to sit down with that, to look at it and to explain to them and then write out whatever your recommendations are? How long will it take?
I mean, minimally an hour.
Okay. So
minimally an hour.
So what do you want for an hour? $100, $150, $200, $500?
I mean, I would say like more like 250, because it's not just me talking with them that one time. I mean, obviously they're going to have questions.
Right. So then you bundle it, right?
Yeah.
I totally agree with the way you're going with this, right? That single like test thing. So you say, here's what my food sensitivity, interpretation bundle looks like. We're going to do the initial, you know, reading of it. I'm going to give you a plan, and then we're going to meet. We have two additional half hour sessions to sit down and answer your questions. And the cost of this is $250 or whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
Right. Okay, everything should be bundled. Right. And if you have any handouts you want to give them that explain, if you want to say, look, your kid has 27 food sensitivities, we really can't just eliminate all these foods. We have to work on the leaky gut.
Right.
That's a big problem if you don't.
But I mean, when I did my leaky gut test, I was collecting my urine for 6 hours. There's no way no babies are going
to
be able
to. No. I don't mean to test it. You don't have to test it. You just work on it, right? And so it may clear up. I mean, these are babies. So how much foods are they actually eating?
Right.
That's the other thing. If this is a baby, like, I would probably just start with not even testing. I would start with just eliminating the top allergens.
Oh, so that would be eliminating the top allergens with the mom, because she's still breastfeeding.
She's breastfeeding. Yeah, I wouldn't run a food sensitivity.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you're going, okay, mom.
Yeah. Well,
let's get down to these things. Have mom do a. So this is like a package that mom is gonna consult with you on, right? Because so baby's having certain symptoms. First of all, you have to log all the symptoms, get their history. When did this start? What are you eating, mom? Do you notice that it's different when you're eating garlic versus potato chips versus bread versus whatever? And then you get mom on that. Because if they're just breastfeeding and they're not eating their own foods, don't do a food sensitivity panel.
Okay. I mean, he eats a couple little foods. The other one's three.
Oh, so it's mom. If they're having food sensitivity reactions, it's mom.
Right. So here's my frustration. So, and this is a comment on marketing. So she's a Beachbody person, and like, I've looked at those ingredients. She knows she has MTHFR. I don't know if it's the 1298 or the C7761, but like, she knows she's got thyroid, like she knows she's got autoimmune issues. And I looked at those ingredients and those don't mesh well with autoimmune symptoms. And even a couple of years ago, Leah actually made a comment to her. She goes, you know, your symptoms started when you started those supplements. And now her little guy has these intense rashes on his leg. They're so raw. I mean, I told her that to use the calendula cream, which she is, but that poor little guy.
No. You don't want to band-aid it. You give them some relief. Something. But here's the thing. If a baby is having what seems like reactions, it's mama if she's nursing. So you got to work with mama and you have to say, look, your child is having these reactions, right? You have autoimmune conditions. You need to follow an autoimmune friendly diet. Even if you just give her Dr. Terry Wall's book and say, this is what you should be eating, right? No dairy, no gluten, minimal grains, low glycemic, blah, blah, blah. So she's got to get that under control. And if she's eating those say, look, if you want your kid to get better, these ingredients are probably what's causing it. So here's what we're going to do for you. I want you to do a 7-10, whatever day, 14-day elimination diet. You eliminate these products and let's see if it's if there's any reactions to the real food that you're eating.
Right. So, that's at no cost. I'm not charging her to tell her that.
I would just tell her that. And if you want to work with me on getting your autoimmune condition under control so your kid doesn't develop an autoimmune condition too.
Right.
I'll work with you.
Right.
Yeah. And if she wants help with the elimination diet, right, putting together a program and all that, that's stuff you can help her with.
Right.
And okay. I mean, if you're going to offer her like a $250 minimal project, package just to get her started, I mean, it's $250 for your kid's health. It's like worth it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's had the rashes for like over a year. And she had this one thing she was putting on him, and I go, please, it was like from Avon. I'm like, please don't use that anymore.
It's a like, conversation with her on her. I would start with the conversation of, you're still nursing. It seems like these rashes started. Do you see the connection when you started to do this? I'd like to see you do an elimination. Just eliminate those products and eliminate these ingredients are the ones that
Right.
You might charge her something for that if you're going to take extra time, but it's up to you. If you want to just do it in goodwill to establish a relationship, create an ongoing patient. Yeah.
Okay. So my other question. So I got my organics back and you were talking about the anemia. And my methyl malonate is a little concerning. So it's let me pull mine up here. So
it's above 2.5, I think is I can't remember the limit because it's a little different in blood versus urine. I can't remember.
Urine,
I think it's like 2.5, higher than 2.5 is probably concerning.
Yeah. So it's I think it says it's 1.5. So it's like right on the border of the green and the yellow. But I'm like, it doesn't, like all my other markers that are like button up against the yellow, I'm like, those aren't good either. So
okay, so how's your homocysteine? So when you're looking at MMA is methylmalonic acid, is very specific to B12. But then you look at, well, what are the other things? What's my MCV look like? Is my MCV high or borderline high? What's my homocysteine like? Is that high or borderline high? So then I would say, that borderline high, just bump up your, if you have an MTHFR, well, MTRR is really one that's more related. So
look
You have that, so maybe you just supplement with extra B12. Then you look at, am I taking B12, right? This is a question you ask yourself, but you're also going to ask the client. Oh, I'm already taking B12. Okay, let's see how much and what form you're taking.
Right.
Some people are taking B12 as part of a multivitamin. It's kind of useless,
right?
It's usually like you need intrinsic factor really strong to be able to pull it out of there and get it absorbed. B12 is better sublingual or liposomal or topical even.
Right.
So I would look at your numbers and see if there's other indications that B12 is borderline or low, and then bump up your B12, especially if you do have MTRR.
Yeah.
I take B12 maybe once a month. I don't take it very often, but I muscle test it and I see, and it's usually about once a month that I take it. And I have a bunch of those. I have like 3 MTRRs. So I do.
I just ordered a B complex because it was it wasn't, it was out of stock. So because they changed it, because the one that they had was a methyl form of one of the bees, and now they changed it, so there's no methyl in it at all. I'd have to look
yeah, so with that, you know, here's the thing. We all hear about methyl. Methyl is the best form. Don't take cyano, blah, blah, blah. If the person, if you don't know their genes, get a form of B12 that's slow, that you can absorb, you can titrate up slowly, like a, you know, a sublingual liquid, or better would be a liposomal. And you start with one drop, you go to two. Because if they have a COMT SNP,
yeah,
and you give them too many methyl groups, they can become anxious, homicidal, suicidal. It just triggers a whole bunch of anxiety.
Right. So this one is the hydrocobalamin chloride, and then adenosylcobalamin. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I just got.
Because yeah, but if it's in a multi, is it a liquid multi or is it a...
No, it's a B complex. There was no B complex that I knew that was liquid.
Yeah. So in general, if you need more B12, you need to take a separate B12.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you're younger, so maybe, you know, but as we age, the intrinsic factor goes down. If you don't know if you have intrinsic factor antibodies, if you have low stomach acid and parietal cell dysfunction, there's a lot of reasons that could cause you not to absorb your B12 very well.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. All right. Where are we? Terry.
Good. Hi. First, I have three questions, and depending on how much it takes to answer each one, but I think I'll start with the clients first. But last night was very good. I watched the program. It was really good. And what I liked also, I don't know if everybody gets to listen, but you were going into the B vitamins and things, and I had listened to the B vitamins already. So it was fun to see how much I really didn't have to listen hard to.
Oh, good. Yeah, because you already had
really focused. Like I understood.
First pass through, everything is hard. Second pass through,
yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I know that stuff. but what I was thinking is, as you spoke about the blood work that everybody needed to do in order to get, you know, read by the coaches, what is that blood work? Is that something we should all be doing for ourselves?
And yeah, it's basically the basic stuff, right? It's the CBC with differential. It's the complete metabolic panel, which would be your lipids, your kidney function, your electrolytes, your muscle and bone, and all that. And then complete thyroid. And you know, unless you've already had it, that's what I was telling them. If they already had this recently, they submit what they already had recently. You know, so the complete thyroid, not the TSH, which is what most doctors.
Okay.
And then cysteine and hemoglobin A1C and insulin to really make it complete as a first time for people.
Because what I have three people that I'm working with, and they were all saying, well, what kind of blood work do you want? Well, I'd like to recommend whatever you thought that was the best that they could bring to the table.
If they're willing to pay the money. We just had go to runmylabs.com. And they have right there, Dr., you know, it's my page on there, and it says Dr. Rita Marie's comprehensive initial mm-hmm. assessment.
Okay.
And it's expensive. It's like $500.
Okay.
But they don't have to do all of it, but it's a good baseline if they can afford it. But for a lot of folks, they already had their doctor ran their annual whatever, and their doctor and insurance company will run part of it. The document that, you know, I gave them, or that I gave at the end of the call, has all of that listed in it.
Okay. And anyway, one of them's in England. So I think
she'll probably get her doctor anyway.
Yeah, right? And then that'll be covered by that. Okay, great. So just go to that for the others if they choose to. And then I have one client that I'm concerned about, because she's her background is severe torture as a child. So, you know, so her mother rented her out. Mother was a drug addict and rented her out to pedophiles.
Oh my God.
So she had like about three or four death experiences. You know, they just tortured her, you know, you can imagine. So, but one of the concerns would be, all right, so she needs to have her glucose looked at, but do you give a torture victim, you know, go and prick your finger every 15 minutes? Severe torture.
Yeah, she's gotten stressed by trauma around it, of course.
And so much trauma. She's had a lot of work done on it. But then how do you, now she eats very cleanly, But as she's sending me her food diary, a lot of it has to do, I would say she may have issues with, as far as, you know, even if she's having pears and apples with some of her salads or raisins. And, you know, it could be very much that her glucose is spiking and she needs to, maybe some insulin resistance is causing her issues. But then if she, like, how do I help her? You know, I told her, see if she could go get the thing right on the arm and see that they would allow her that. And that way she could do her phone and she, that would be a lot.
If you can't, there's a company called Levels. If she can't get a doctor to do it, all of you can go through this. And I'm going to see if I can find my link. And they will get, it's a little more expensive than buying it when you get a prescription, but they give you a year of refills. I'm not that they give you, but you have to buy them, but they give you a prescription so you can get a year of refills. So
let me, okay.
I can't say.
But I was like, how do you do that? You know, I mean, her issues are so extensive that she comes to, and she's in her 40s or 50s at this point.
Have you mentioned it about poking her finger? And she's like, no, I can't.
Pardon?
Have you?
Yeah. It's not gonna, I really regretted mentioning it. Actually, I didn't, you know, absorb the level of trauma that she's been through, and she's a torture victim. You don't do that. You don't do that to torture victims, you know.
Yeah, so you don't bring baseline stuff to get a sense of it. So if she goes and gets her blood drawn, I mean, you know, I'm sure she can do that. Can she do that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, she can do
that. Yeah. So my thing is try again.
But she can't like to, but the idea.
Yeah, but doing it over and over. Finger, so get her hemoglobin A1C. Mm-hmm. Get her hemoglobin A1C, get her fasting insulin.
Okay, right.
And then you're going to get a good sense of, you know, if her hemoglobin A1C is reasonable, then she's probably decent. But a lot of times you can't tell with the hemoglobin A1C alone, because hemoglobin A1C could be normal, because they have really high spikes and then they come way down. So then when you do it with insulin, you'll see, oh, her insulin's high. So she probably is having reactive hypoglycemia along with her spikes, and it levels out the A1C. Yeah.
Okay. So along with that, she has like fatigue, as you can imagine, you know, chronic pain, constant pain, transient ataxia. That she doesn't have it all the time, but transient ataxia, and I can't remember what B vitamin I think you were saying was associated with ataxia, but
I remember one in particular.
Karen, did you? I remember saying was it a B vitamin or maybe associated with, but anyway, constipation is big, and she would like to go without using colonics and things like that, and
constipation. Is oftentimes it can be an early sign of Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's, it's a severe deficiency of dopamine. So it's possible that there's a dopamine deficiency.
Okay.
And there's ways to kind of test it out with amino acid therapy. So you look at like, oh, she's might be low in dopamine. What's the precursor? Well, the precursor is tyrosine. Well, you can look at like organic acid tests too, to get an idea of the tyrosine, phenylalanine, et cetera, balance, not direct, but there's metabolites, but you can look at that and you can try like getting some tyrosine, and vitamin B6 is important cofactor with it. So you have her try that for a couple of weeks and see if that helps. And that would give you an idea. You also can have her do like a test. I don't know if you have this book, where'd the book go? This book is an amazing book for everybody to get.
The Edge Effect.
Yeah, it's an amazing book because he has all these, every single one, he likes, everybody's a different neurotransmitter type, right? But there's a whole bunch of really great questions in there. And you can see, does she have the tendency to have dopamine deficiency symptoms? You do our neurotransmitter tests as well, which you have access to, but his are a little bit more in depth. But you know, if she's got some indications of dopamine, low motivation, depression, well, she's going to have all these things because of, right.
And the chronic pain, you know, so for her, you know, it's almost like, you know, okay, I'm doing this. She's got a very good attitude and all that, but she says with all this going on, it's just like, you know, I think sometimes I just want to check out. I think I'm like, and you recognize that if you don't come up with something good, you know, it's, you know, you feel badly, you know, because it's really a tough, she's been through so much. And the chronic pain is just exhausting. So, but to get, see if we can relieve some of her symptoms. She had breast cancer, but the beautiful thing is that she did go for oral natural healing. Great. And had it resolved, yeah. But great. Then she has fungal. What about fungal on the fingers?
Well, you got to look at fungal in the gut.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know, really like all of this stuff comes down to the basic stuff. Like you have to know how to dig with it, but regardless of what their symptoms or their history are, we have to go through some basic stages, right? Get their blood sugar balanced, check out their gut, get their microbiome balanced, get their nutrients balanced, right? Fungal infection. Yeah, you can deal with it with tea tree oil and other things, but why does she have it, right? Why mm-hmm. does she have it? Is an imbalance in the system. It's an immune system thing, right? The body can't right. manage to get that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can take oral hype. You can put 22 on it. I mean, there's a number of ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
And well, if it's like this, you want to get some symptom relief while you're working on the root cause, especially
right.
she's got a lot of pain. So what can you do? Is it pain all over her body? Is it pain in particular yeah. areas?
Yeah. Right. Mainly spinal pain areas, you know. Mainly spinal. But
you know, in your physical therapy.
But the blood sugar was, you know, I know that was one thing I had to look at first, but it kind of became a roadblock until I can find a way to do it in a.
Here's what I look at. Here's what I do. If somebody won't, we have a lot of people who go through Sweet Spot and never test their blood sugar.
Okay.
They get good results. I go, oh, if you keep you not testing, here's my metabolic reset diet. You're only allowed to eat green stuff.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
And it makes a huge difference.
Okay.
Huge difference.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah.
So you they don't have to poke their finger. I work with this with little kids, right? Mamas want to get their kids through it. So they just put them on a specific diet and then you gradually increase it. You start to see changes. You start to see issues change.
Yeah. And then I had another client that, I don't know if she'll stick with you, but because she's putting on weight. She has a sounds like she has a very clean diet as we were going over it, but, she is like the CEO of something or CFO, and she has to work constantly. And then I said, let's start your glucose. And she wanted to do that. And she got the meter and I said, start filling out the glucose tracker. No, this is far too much. This is too stressful. This is just awful. And I said, the reason why she's putting on weight is not her food. It's just her cortisol levels are out of control. Right? And stress is out of control. So exactly. I don't think it's the food at all.
That link for you, the level. Right. It was something, I think my internet was. Wet.
So I guess, do you ever just start with some stress ideas? Stress decrease.
Of course I start with stress.
Right, heart math.
They come in with. I start with heart math. I start with breathing. I start with those mini vacations throughout the day whenever you feel it. Tune in what it feels like. Where is your stress? Where's your stress in your body? Oh, I feel it right here.
So I think that's, I took a step back and
to start with that.
And yeah, I just said, let's see if we can connect. If you can find some time for me, let's connect. And we have to take a step back and just work on the stress.
Absolutely. And you explain.
She's concerned about her weight gain.
Weight gain and stress go together. How's her sleep? If she's not sleeping, she's going to have some problems with that as well.
Yeah, I think she's sleeping, but because by the time she gets to bed, she's exhausted. So
I put in here, how much is she sleeping? Is she getting 7-8 hours a night?
I'll have to relook at that. I don't have that here, but she, but it's at the same time, the levels of her stress are really she's not getting 7-8, come to think of it. She's going to bed, falling asleep, gets up about like 4 in the morning.
And somebody goes to bed and falls asleep immediately.
Yeah.
It means they're too tired.
Yeah.
Right. If it takes them 5 to 10 minutes to fall asleep, that's more normal. If they're falling asleep, like on an aura, it always warns me, wow, something's wrong here. You fell asleep within 2 minutes. Like that's not, that means you're exhausted. I just put a link in for anybody who wants to use it. Levels is a company that has a program where you can, they give you an app and they give you the kit with the glucose meters and they give you a prescription where you can refill it for 11 times after that. It's $400 to get started, which is about it's probably $100 more than it would cost you to buy those 4 meters, the four patches.
Yes.
Because they're about 65 or 70 each. So four of them would be like 280. So it's a little over $100 more, but you don't have to get a doctor to prescribe it. Right. And they have a little app you can keep track of, and they have emails that they send, you know, I find them particularly useful, but some people might, right? Mm-hmm. And that way,
I'll ask her about levels. Maybe she'll do that, because that would be great for the, you know, being a victim of torture or something. That's so
right. And it's just one time you feel a little.
And that's it. Yeah. That's great. I think that sounds a lot better. And then lastly, you know, as I get started doing, you know, moving from being a physical therapist in clinic and doing this work. So I started, my website is going to be healingtowellness.com. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, how do I put like these the forms into the website? Is that the next best thing to do if I'm stepping into doing all this?
It depends on how you're going to do it, right? If you're going to work one-on-one with people, you can always just email them a form, right?
Okay.
If you want to make them online forms that they just go and fill out, you would take the forms that I've given you and you can use them as is, or you can change the questions around, and you can go to Google Forms for free.
Oh, good. Good. And then that I can put into the website.
And then you can say, hey, you know, here's the thing. Or if you just have a list of them, depends on how you're working with people, right? If you're working with the groups, you want to have a page where they can go and click it. If you're just working one-on-one, it's helpful to have a page where you would have, like, if you're going to do them as Google Forms, you can have thyroid assessment, and then you have your link, and adrenal assessment, and whatever assessment, and then you can just send them there depending on what's going on. Everybody should fill out the initial assessment, and then you just tell them, okay, go here and fill out the thyroid assessment for me.
Because it sounds good if you could go to Google Forms, and it's less paperwork and less papers flying around.
Otherwise you have to send them, you can send them the PDFs. We gave you the docs, the document.
Right.
So you can edit them as you want. You can send them that way, but then they have to print them, fill them in, and then fax you the pages, right?
Right.
Right.
Gosh, but if it's not too hard to do Google Forms, I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah. The other option is, check out biocanic.com, I think it is, and use my code, which is INE2020. And they give you half price. It's like, it's usually $40 a month. It's $20 a month. And you tell them you're working with me. They'll, you know, make sure that you didn't make it up and that you really are with me. And then we say, yeah, you can give Terry access. And I have all my forms put in there, most of them, not every single one, but I have most of them in there. And then you'll be able to access it and be able to send them the forms. It's really
cool.
That's
great. And so they fill out the forms through there. That's great. So all the forms are there.
All HIPAA compliant too. So everything's on.
Oh, fantastic. Screen. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Cause it's transitioning to just to, you know, being on the internet and stuff has been good.
And then you don't have to worry about putting it up on your website. You don't have to spend all that time creating Google Forms. You can just take them that way and put them up, and you got them.
So, yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No problem.
Great.
All right. So we have lower hand. We have Julie and then Lynn and Karen again. Or did I not put your hand down? Whatever. So Julie.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So I have just yesterday, I did an intake on someone, and I'd love to kind of bring in to this group to kind of get some suggestions on the direction I might go with this person if I continue working with her. I can share my screen, or I can walk through verbally. I do a write-up.
Screen if you have it, that'd be great.
Yep, I got it. Let's do that. Okay, let me share. Share screen. Pages, there it is. All right. Can you guys see that?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay. So a 32-year-old female, she has had two miscarriages in the last 4 years. She's complaining of mostly headache, but chronic fatigue. She's gained some weight. She is trying to get pregnant. She's got some stress around infertility. She kind of went on about all the things, right? She's got, she's had some acne in the past. She was on Accutane years ago. She has poor skin on the back of her arms. I believe that keratosis.
The keratosis.
I forget the first part of that word.
Hyperfollicular
cholesterol. Yeah, hyperfollicular keratosis. Yeah. And then some increased cholesterol numbers over the last, I think she said 5 or 6 years. So that's kind of the basic, but the chief complaint was headache, chronic headache, so 3 or 4 times a week. She drinks
coffee every morning because she's exhausted. Yep. Is that
okay? She does drink coffee. She is, so there's some objective findings there reported by her. Weight has gone up. Blood pressure is listed there, 106 over 68. Yeah, difficulty sleeping, coffee in the mornings, no past history of thyroid, but her doctor, her PCP did recommend she take iron. I don't really know why. I didn't get an answer there. She does get heartburn from time to time. She says mostly at night she takes Tums. No significant family history.
She had blood pressure, oral contraceptives for 11 years from age 18 to 29.
Yes.
And she immediately tried to get pregnant and did get pregnant, but okay. So I'm going to just throw you a little carrot here. You may have already thought about this, but that length of time being on blood contraceptives, there are tons of nutrients that get whacked. So you've got to look at her gut. Probiotics, big time. You've got to look at her zinc status, her B vitamins, her magnesium, her vitamin C, like all of this stuff is whacked out. And when somebody goes from being on contraceptives for that many years, it's like 11 years. And then once you get pregnant right away without building their nutrition back up, that's when they get into trouble. Okay. Is she on gluten?
I believe so. Yeah. She is she eats bagels for breakfast.
Yes. Okay.
So salad gluten, for lunch.
Gluten and miscarriages are a common manifestation. Very common.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Add to that, that if she has an MTHFR SNP, it increases the likelihood of miscarriage. So I would be looking at her SNPs for MTHFR.
Okay. Okay.
Has she been tested for PCOS?
No, not to my knowledge. She didn't mention it.
Very classic.
Mm-hmm.
Very classic. Okay. And, you know, average person goes through about 4 doctors for PCOS, so I would be careful.
Yeah, and you want to look at her blood sugar, her insulin, especially her testosterone, her DHEA. All of those things are important, that they are manifestations. She doesn't necessarily have to get an ultrasound and see that she has the cysts, because many of them don't, but all of those things are common. And insulin resistance, if she's eating bagels and cream cheese and drinking coffee for breakfast, she's likely got a blood sugar issue. So you want to really look at her.
Yeah, that was my first go-to, was the blood sugar.
Yeah.
And so my challenge is, do I jump into this as part of here's how we can short-term, long-term, right? Short-term, do things like, helping her with her sleep, maybe refer her for the headache or chiropractic for stress reduction.
You can do that, but
stomach acid. I'm kind of confused as to where to start.
If you change her diet and she has sensitivities to gluten, all of this stuff can get, much of this stuff can get improved right away. So first thing you look at is, what's the crap they're eating and how do you get them off of it?
Yep. Yep.
Right. Because the birth control pills will kill
the coffee,
her.
Coffee, yeah.
And the coffee will affect it. And then she probably has low stomach acid, she could have excess stomach acid, but the coffee aggravates the sphincter, the lower esophageal sphincter. And then she's having reflux at night. And then she's taking the OTC, whatever she's taking, Tums, right? She takes that. And that lowers her stomach acid. That makes the sphincter looser, makes the problem keep propagating itself, right? And then it affects her protein absorption and her mineral absorption, right? She has to have good, all of that. And then on top of that,
I was worried about vitamin A and zinc and low stomach, down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
solubles, right? Yeah. So you really, you just got to get a good diet history. That's why on my questionnaires, even just those 3 questions tells me a lot. What are the 3 worst foods you eat in a week? What are the 3 best?
Yeah, I think we talked about that yesterday. Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. And
use the questionnaire. Then, use the questionnaire. It's on the site.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. So then if I use the questionnaire, then would I recommend just doing these tests or getting results of these tests if she's already done them with PCP? Or
I would say if she has tests,
you work on the food first.
If you, okay. You don't need to look at tests to work on food. You hear food and you go,
yeah, we can do the food. Yeah, we can do the food first.
Right. Cause it's a lot of money. It's then there's a delay. In the meantime, she's still eating bagels and
yep.
coffee for breakfast. Yeah. It's super important, you guys. We all want to jump in and find all these amazing solutions. And if you're looking at their diet and their diet is crappy and they don't get enough nutrients in there and they're doing stuff that's aggravating the stomach lining and then she has reflux, you know what I'm saying? So we have to just mm-hmm. start with the basics. That's why I start the same way with everybody. I don't put everybody on the same program, but you have to start with the evaluation starts with questionnaires, with questions, whether it's one-on-one or filling out questionnaires, right? We already know she probably has very poor nutrient status because she was on birth control pills for that long. She's had two miscarriages in the last 4 years. She's 32, which means she started to try to get pregnant, or she got pregnant almost immediately on going off those birth control pills.
Yeah.
Right. Which means she's very depleted.
She did. Yep.
Yeah. Very depleted. Right.
Okay. I think that's helpful. Yeah. That gives me a good place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And the iron, why did the doctor recommend iron?
I didn't get that. I didn't get an answer to
that. So ask her if she has lab work that she has already. So I always like to look at their lab work before I start to recommend lab work.
Yes.
What it is and see what the baselines are, right? But look for iron, look at ferritin, look at hemoglobin, hematocrit, red blood cell counts, and all the rest. And see if there's a sign of deficiency. Here's the problem that some people get into. A lot of doctors will look at their iron or their ferritin, assume they have iron deficiency anemia, put them on iron when in fact, the iron was high. And then we have a completely different problem we're dealing with. So I always say, before you're going to supplement somebody, if it's really looks like classic iron deficiency anemia, and I talked about that yesterday, there's a slide in the blood chem as well. Some of those things I taught last night were just stolen from the blood chem module. It wasn't as complete as our blood chem module, but it was stolen from there. And I just prettied up my slides. So yeah, I would look at all of that. Why did she suggest if she has severe menstrual bleeding, right? That's a good reason for it, right? Because iron deficiency actually causes worse bleeding, and then the bleeding causes worse iron deficiency. So that would be a reason. So it's always like,
I will check on that. Yeah.
Like, why did
that make sense?
Right.
So it looks that iron deficiency says that puts a third of pregnant women at risk of miscarriage. So that's probably
might be why, but just make sure that there's a reason for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
Keep going.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah. All right. Did somebody? Okay. So Julie, so Karen.
So for some bizarre reason, Leah's Zoom doesn't have the hand raise little button. I just did the
weird,
the video face thing and I couldn't find it. So she's got the question.
She's got a question. So I'll unmute her. Hand over
to Leah if she could figure out how to unmute herself.
Okay, see.
Hey, yay.
She unmuted herself. Yay, Leah.
So I have a question about wisdom teeth. I have two teens that need their dentists and everything. They're recommending that they get their wisdom teeth extracted. But I've read different things about cavitations and, chronic infections and, platelet rich factors or whatever, all that stuff to build bone and, but there really are not holistic oral surgeons out there. So they went for their consult today and I was asking the oral surgeon some questions And he didn't really like my questions. And he got a little huffy and was like, what are you reading this on the internet? You know what I mean? Like, you know, don't believe everything you read, you know.
Where'd you get your med dental degree? On the internet?
Yeah, pretty
much. From the local store on the corner? Like, that's what I want to ask these people. Like, do you keep up with anything? Do you read any of the scientific journals?
Yeah, so, I mean, my oldest, I mean, his wisdom teeth are moving, his, especially his lower teeth. And you know, they have no room to come out. It does look like he will have to have them out. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of people have that problem. And, you know, if you look at like some of the Weston Price research and all that, that we have started to develop these very narrow jawlines and can't fit the wisdom teeth. And that's a nutritional imbalance, right? So I don't know, kids, teenagers don't necessarily listen to their smart mom who knows what to tell them. But I think it's important that you're really looking at all their nutrient intakes as well. I mean, it's late now, but it was like, what was yours like when you were pregnant with them, and what was their early childhood stuff? And, you know, the later children tend to have more of a problem with it than the earlier children because mom gets more deficient, right? So I would look at A and K and D as very important nutrients that are often very deficient and have a lot to do with the skeletal structure. But as far as getting them out, is your question about whether they should get them out or not? Or what's the question about specifically?
Is there like, okay, for someone who has no choice but to go for a conventional oral surgeon approach, I mean, what would you do?
Yeah, so it's different than having cavities, or, you know, it's different than if you're going in to try to get the mercury removed. You have to go to somebody who's holistic, otherwise they don't use the damming and you run the risk of mercury toxicity, etc. With just the wisdom teeth removal, I mean, you can certainly, yeah, they're going to want to do anesthetic. You don't want to put them under, you want to have just local, right? Mm-hmm. Just make sure that you're really clear on those sorts of things. Prepare him in advance before he goes in with, you know, not necessarily right before, but like the days leading up to it, vitamin C and checking pH and making sure they're in a really alkaline way when they're having any kind of surgery done. It's important that the body is its best defenses put forward, right? So you really support him in that. And I would look at those, I would look at DNA and K and all. There's so much research on that related to skeletal development and bone healing, right? Because they're going to be cutting in and having to yank these teeth out. Pain relief, you know a lot of stuff related to pain relief and inflammation and turmeric and ginger and vitamin C and, you know, anti-inflammatory type nutrition after the surgery. But it's not as critical. I would not recommend that you let any kind of non-holistic dentist take out mercury fillings, you know?
Oh no, he doesn't have any mercury fillings, but good. I mean, he's the 18-year-old.
I think you just do it, right? You can do all the stuff to prepare. You might look into what would a holistic oral surgeon do differently, and then just make sure that you have that conversation.
Yeah, well, they do the platelet-rich fibrin, you know, where they take your blood out and then spin it, and they inject that into the, you know, the cavitation before they suture it up.
Right.
They'll also clean out the cavitation with ozone and oxygen. I even asked them if they used any ozone or anything to, you know, clean the site before closing it up. And he was, you know, of course that was, didn't go over well.
Right.
The nearest one is in New Jersey, which is about 9 hours away from us. So, and of course, you know, it's holistic so that nothing is covered by a dental insurance carrier, especially out of state. It's every place I would go would be out of state. But he also mentioned, you know, he automatically puts the kids on antibiotics afterwards, which is a big fat no for me.
And you don't even have to argue with it. You just take the prescription, say thank you very much, tear it up and throw it in the trash on the way out the door.
Like for ear infections. Yeah. I usually like a combination of grapefruit seed extract and olive leaf extract and oil of oregano and maybe some biocidin if things look a little bit iffy. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, all that stuff sounds great. Yeah.
Okay. And then my other question is about SIBO. So if you have someone who has a history of SIBO and they've retested, you know, over the course of, you know, years even, and maybe their numbers improve, they've done FODMAPs, they've done all kinds of things, do you find that the SIBO test, like, people ever completely resolve their SIBO? Like, what's your experience?
I hate SIBO tests, so I don't run them.
Okay, I've heard a lot of practitioners say they don't like SIBO tests. Now, why is that?
Well, first of all, they make you eat crap for like 4 days before you take it to make sure you don't have any, like, eat white flour and eat that. I mean, it's really garbage. I mean, right. And plus, I don't think it's as accurate as can be. You can tell if somebody has SIBO by their symptoms, mm-hmm. right? And you just, in fact, you do what you do, all those kinds of things. You do you've got to make sure you work on the migrating motor complex. And you have to make sure you work on the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic balance and all that. But I just don't do the SIBO tests. Will it ever go away? Who knows? I don't know that they're all that accurate. So, you know, and I've said, you can do a stool test and the GIFX test from Genova. They'll show methane producing bacteria in there. So that gives you an idea if there's some, you know, still some of those bacteria in there. Mm-hmm. But it depends on why they have SIBO too, right? So if they have SIBO because their good stuff is migrated up, right? Because of the migrating motor complex is not keeping it down. That's one thing. If they actually have a pathogen or they've had surgery, you know, GI surgery or bypass or something, that's another reason. So I just don't do the tests. There's certain tests I just don't do because I just don't believe that they're
right. Necessary. Yeah. Well, I mean, I myself have had several SIBO tests and they just don't, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't see any value in this. And then after taking some of these different courses, a lot of practitioners who've been working for years have been commenting that they don't like the test. So,
yeah,
you know, it's been a learning experience for me and it just feels like a waste of money. You know,
I think it's a waste of money. And when I look at somebody wanted to take one and she got the kit, she goes, it's telling me to eat like white rice for 3 days. She goes, I don't right. eat white rice for 3 days. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't want to shoot my blood sugar up. It's no nutrition. Why would I do this? I'm like, yeah. Don't do it.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I did a water fast before mine myself, right. which is kind of a little bit miserable to fast for that long. I'm in the probiotic food section of module 5 and mm-hmm. you were talking about what probiotic foods are the most, I don't know, for somebody who has had issues with SIBO, like,
oh,
where
yeah,
would you start with that?
D-lactate free, right? So as far as the eating, a lot of times people with SIBO don't do well with sauerkraut or fermented vegetables. So I would do like a homemade non-dairy yogurt. Those are the ones that they'll tend to go. And then you can, when you're making those things, if you add extra bifidobacter, mm-hmm. it helps to increase the bifidobacter content. And bifidobacter is a safe one with SIBO, as are the lactobacillus species that don't produce D-lactate.
So okay, there's, so you,
if you can get supplements of that, like from Custom Probiotics or Claire, D-lactate free. And they usually have a couple of strains of bifido and a couple of strains of lacto that are non-lactate formers. And you can actually make your probiotics using those and you can actually have them take those.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Lynn, you had your hand up earlier and it went down.
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the raise your hand thing. I came in kind of late and I felt kind of bad because I thought people were in line before me to ask questions. I'm just kind of catching back up. I've kind of been a little under the weather for the last few weeks and just getting back into it. But I hope to catch up before the SHINE conference because I really want to be ready for that.
Great. Awesome. I can't wait for it. I got to get out there and send your friends.
I will.
Yeah. Good. All right. Cool. Who else? Okay. There's two more. Karima. Hi. So I need to put your hand down, Karen, because you were raising it for Leah, right? Okay. So Karima, where are you?
I have a question. I was listening to some of the recordings, the past recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned to someone about the chiropractor to use for traumas.
For tumors?
No, trauma.
Oh, trauma. Oh, trauma. Yeah.
Trauma. And I believe she also had a few accidents at the same time. And you said go to the chiropractor and they'll actually go through the spine or whatever and work on that. But we have so many chiropractors here, but none of them really know about the trauma stuff.
So you're talking physical trauma versus the trauma that who was talking about earlier, that Terry was talking about earlier, emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think it was that you got to find a good chiropractor. There's a lot of bad chiropractors out there.
I know. They just have the name, but really they don't know much about than what we know.
Absolutely. So, you know, if somebody has physical trauma and their spine is out of alignment or they have myofascial stuff that's out of alignment, they do need to get that worked on. Right. And there are physical therapists like Terry who work on stuff like that, myofascial type stuff. There are chiropractors who do. There are other chiropractors who say everything is solved by just go pop, pop, pop and send you on your way. Those are the ones you want to avoid because they don't really understand the full capacity of all this, right? So, you know, a combination. When I was doing my hands-on practice, I did acupuncture, myofascial work, craniosacral work, chiropractic adjustments. I did all of that, plus the
is nutrition. There a name for such chiropractors or no?
Eclectic?
Like we have holistic and those.
There isn't. No, right? I mean, there are the what they call straight chiropractors, and then they call the others the mixed chiropractors, the ones that take in other things.
Upper spine?
You have to look at what they do. What's that?
Upper spine.
There's people who do upper spine, right? And that, you know, there's a lot of different kind of techniques and you have to find what works for you.
Yeah, because I went to the chiropractor we used to see, she says she deals with digestion and upper spine and stuff.
Yep.
But really, she just makes you go on that machine and she tells you this is what's wrong with you, but no. When she's treating you, I don't see that thing happening. It's just a pop, pop, pop. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like anything else, it's like window shopping, right? You've got to shop until you find the right place. You ask a lot of questions. When I was looking for a gynecologist, when I was back in the day of before having kids, right? I wanted to find the right gynecologist. And I called up a bunch and I said, I'm just going to come in and talk to you. I want to interview you to see what your feelings are. And I would ask questions like, okay, what's your C-section rate? How many C-sections do you do in a month? And what do you do if this happens? And what do you do if that happens? And when I found the right one, he was the, oh yeah, I do C-sections only when I have to. And it's really disappointing when I have to. And you know, and he'd say, oh, it's been like, it's September and I had to do two of them this year. And it was really sad for me. And I let people, you know, and he was just like so holistic about the whole process. I knew it was the right one. So you ask questions, you make a list of questions of what you want to ask the person and you get a feel for how they are. Right. And how open they are.
I have been to 10, but I haven't found anybody that I feel that, you know, they are the right people.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you like there was a trick to it, to finding. In the olden days, you can look at their Yellow Pages ad. And if they had all the come here for, you know, workforce comp and, you know, PI cases, like, oh, that's not the ones I want. Whereas if they had more.
And you don't have any context either, right?
Where are you at?
In Canada.
Where in Canada, though?
Calgary.
No. There was a guy named Mark Percival years ago that I studied with, and I don't know where he was in Cal. I don't think he does it anymore. He was a kind of a naturopath chiropractor combination. I don't know.
If you come across any, please let me know.
Let me look real quick to see if he may know somebody, if he's still there, if he even answers his Mark. Steiner Ranch auto injury. Yeah. No, I don't see him. Affinity Health Clinic, maybe that's it. Maybe Mark Percival, is that him? Chiropractic, acupuncture, massage, but where is he? Have you contact the clinic? No, it's naturopathy. There's a whole lot of stuff here. Let's see where he is. See if this is Canada. Contact, here we go. New Hamburg, is that near, is that in Canada?
No.
No, 519, it doesn't, that's, so it's not him probably. No, it is Ontario.
Ontario, oh.
Yeah, Affinity Health Clinic in Ontario, New Hamburg, Ontario. That might be far away, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I would start with the internet and I would look for chiropractors, trauma, you know, acupuncture, somebody that does a combination of those things, myofascial work, and then just see what you can do and then call their offices and ask lots of questions.
Actually, I will try and call him. I might call him.
Yeah, I might call him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Affinity Health Clinic.
Yeah, I already put it down. So maybe okay. I'll call his clinic and find out from him if he knows anybody.
If they know of anybody, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because it'll take me 3 days to go there and 3 days to come back.
I don't want to do that. Talk about trauma.
Yeah. Another one is low palate. A baby born with low palate. What do you do with that?
With a low palate?
Yeah.
Oh, not a cleft palate, a low palate?
Maybe it's called cleft palate.
Cleft palate means there's a
yeah, cleft. They have to do a surgery to open up. So they can, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know of any other way. I mean, it's a congenital deformity of the bony structure.
I know my grandma's mom used to, I mean, grandma's sister and my grandma as well. She used to fix that by just holding your palate up and disconnect that. She used to do this because she had done it for my daughter.
Well, look into craniosacral therapy. Somebody trained in craniosacral therapy because they work on the bones of the skull.
Right.
And there's some intraoral techniques that they go in there. If it's palate versus a, now if it's a dropped palate, that's different than a cleft palate, right? Yeah. A dropped palate, you know, could be that there's some other, and there's, you know, the different muscles in the face and.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter's was dropped palate. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out somebody that does craniosacral therapy. Intraoral adjustments probably will be needed.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Karen said to, did you see that, Terry? Karen commented about your, yeah. Cool. Oh, great. So Terry, you said, I use that holistic dental office in New Jersey and not impressed. Yeah, not to drive 9 hours to get there. Ooh, that would be brutal. Who else? Anybody else have questions or comments? We good? All right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was going to tell you or let you guys know. No, I think we're good. All right, guys, have a great rest of the evening. Great. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. There's Jill. I didn't see you earlier.
I was here.
You're there. You're always here. Awesome.
Bye. I learned a lot by listening.
You learn a lot by listening. I'm glad. That's good. All right. Bye now. Okay, bye.